not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's hump day. It's a good day. Anyway, had a great day yesterday at the Taylor Ranch with the two instructors and 27 kids from Clarendon College. Had a good time out there yesterday. And afterwards, actually, there's more to the story now. Afterwards, Jimmy spoke to him some more there at the old ranch house on the Taylor Ranch and answered some questions. Those kids had a lot of questions. Really, when you see these kids that were out there yesterday asking questions and their minds just working and they can't ask every question they want to or think of it, it's pretty impressive to see what's going on over there at Clarendon College. Well, anyway, I guess one of the instructors had stopped there at Napa and Sayre on their way to the Taylor Ranch and ran into Mr. Jared in there at the Napa store, and he's like, oh, no. Jimmy Clark's going to be out there too. Oh, you're in trouble. Anyway, I guess Jared had said something to them about my high tunnel. So anyway, they followed me home. Well, first they followed me to West Elk where I had to check on some calves that were fence line weaning. So they wanted to see that up close. It was a little smaller operation that they could see right firsthand. One of the kids helped me feed the calves and everything was looking good. Checked the water, and they checked out the pens that I'd built there for the cattle and stuff. And then we went from there and trailed on down 34 Highway towards Carter. And I pointed out the Hudson Angus Farms there on the west side of 34 there where they had the big white picket, nice white picket fence there, and showed them where one of the Bermuda fields that Johnny and Bert's got there that it's got the sprinkler system in it. So, and then pointed out the camels and the elk and the zebras there at Sharon and Troy's place, Jones's there. Anyway, so we went on down there. They checked out the high tunnel and I just gave them a quick overview of it. And then we walked up the sandy road up there and I was showing them the peanut field because probably I'd say 90% of them didn't know what a peanut field looked like. So there was three or four kids there from New Mexico that knew what peanuts was. So anyway, it was a fun day. It was good to have those kids out there. And so anyway, hopefully they didn't learn any bad habits from me or nothing. Chad Ripto showed up and answered a few more questions for him on the peanuts because he knowledge on peanuts way more than mine. So anyway, we had a good time with the that was an all day event with those guys yesterday. So anyway, you guys don't check out Clarendon College online or on their Facebook page. It's a really cool place out here in Texas Panhandle where those kids are going basically every day to something. It doesn't matter whether they're going to a ranch, a peanut field, a high tunnel. They go to the feedlots a lot and learn stuff going on in the feedlots and stuff like that. So anyway, pretty cool. Nothing exciting going on in the Clark Farms right now, just watering peanuts and hoping that I can keep the deer damage to a minimum and the hog damage to a minimum. I got the coon damage down to very minimum. Thank you very much. And anyway, people, I see a lot of people out dusting in their rye and wheat. So hopefully we get some rain. How about the panhandle of Oklahoma? I mean, that's wonderful. It was a smart remark, but I wonder how long it's really been since the panhandle has been that wet. And don't get me wrong, there was a couple guys there this morning at the breakfast table said that they've been through the panhandle and they're having their spots of good and bad, just like we are down in here. So, anyway, but it's been pretty wet up there around Guymon and, Optimum Lake. I remembered it this time. I've said it so many times. I think I got it memorized now, but Optimum Lake. And so anyway, should be some good pheasant hunting up there this year, so we'll see what happens. Perfect year for pheasant up there where it's been raining. Okay, let's check out what happened overnight. If Brandon Hickey gets out of the doctor's office in time, I'll give him a call here coming up shortly. Also, I cannot run the text line from when I'm doing the mobile show. So today, if anybody's got some hay for sale, let's do Hay Day Tuesdays on Wednesday. Anyway, the last segment of the show today. So if you want to, 580-225-9697. Text in what kind of hay you got for sale, how much a ton or per bale. Has it been tested? Can you load? And where's it at? Let's get it going. And this is brought to you by the Great Plains Bank. And so, anyway, type of hay, cost per ton or bale, tested or not tested, can you load? And where's it at? So, anyway, let's get that fired up and going because people are going to start wanting to buy hay here pretty quick. Might as well get on the ship right now. We'll get this train a-rolling. Anyway, let's check out what happened overnight. Soybean and grain futures were higher in overnight trading amidst weather concerns in several growing regions around the world. Northern Brazil remains mostly too hot and dry for soybean sowing, according to the Commodity Weather Group, in a note to its clients. Only in some parts of that in the Northwest, conditions will be favorable for planting. Showers in the region are expected to be limited through the end of the month. In the U.S., untimely rain next week may briefly slow the harvest in the Corn Belt. I didn't know there was such a word out there, untimely rain. There's no such thing as untimely rain. 6% of the U.S. soybeans were harvested as of Sunday, up from the prior five-year average of 3% for this time of the year, according to the USDA. 9% of the corn crop was in the bin at the start of the week, up from an average of 6%. In the Black Sea region, dry weather is expected to hinder wheat planting. Farmers in Ukraine now have sown 840,000 acres with winter wheat, down significantly from the previous year, according to the Ag's Ministry. Total area planted for winter wheat is now forecast by the government at 4.7 million hectares. Soybean futures for November delivery jumped 12.5 cents to 10.18.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained 410 to 325.60 a short ton, and soy oil was up 0.5 cents to 40.45 cents a pound. Corn futures for rose about a penny and three quarters to 414.5 a bushel. Wheat futures overnight for December delivery gained 2.5 cents to 578 a bushel in Chicago. Kansas City added 2.75 to 582.75. Beef exports from the EU, European Union, are expected to increase this year, according to the report from the USDA's office. Exports of beef from the EU jumped 14% year over year in the first half of 2024 as Turkey began importing the meat instead of cattle. The report said total exports in 2024 are forecast at a carcass weight equivalent of 700 metric tons, up from 619,000 tons a year earlier. These beef exports to Turkey are attracted by the high prices at the Turkey domestic market, according to the USDA. This boost of EU beef exports is further supported by elevated EU slaughter during the first half of this year, most pronounced in Poland. EU countries are active in marketing to several countries outside the bloc, including Vietnam, China, and the U.S. Poland recently received veterinary approval to ship beef to Vietnam and China, opening the market for exporters, according to the USDA. Exports in 2025, however, expected to decline while still remaining above last year's 2023 levels. 660,000 metric tons of carcass weight equivalent is due for shipments already next year. Exports will fall due to lower exportable supplies. Weather in our farm belt. Let's see what's happening. Red flag and high wind warnings have been issued for counties in western South Dakota, western Nebraska. Winds in western South Dakota will be sustained at 20 to 30 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 50, humidity 13%. Not good. Same thing in Nebraska. Meanwhile, in central Iowa, more storms, strong storms are possible this evening. And I think there's some more storms supposed to roll through the Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle, maybe ease its way down this direction. So anyway, a couple things for what got you here before we take our first break is I got two things to talk to you about that you guys want to. One of them is in Buffalo and one of them is in Cheyenne. The Great Plains Initiative meeting will be Tuesday, October 1st at 6 o'clock. At the Methodist Church there, and it's titled Defend the Core, Grow the Core Strategy, and it will be at 6 o'clock, October 1st. Must RSVP, because I think the ladies at the church are going to be cooking. This is topics will include woody plant removal, utilizing fire for livestock, importance of burning with neighbors, how agencies and PBAs are here to assist. Anyway, this is being put on, looks like, by the U.S. FWS. I guess that'd be the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation, and OKPBA and PFQF, the Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, and the OSU Co-op Extension Services, and the USDA and the NRCS offices. That's a pretty good meeting. And then we got one more meeting I need to tell you about before we go to break. Basically the same thing, but this is at Buffalo. It's Thursday, October 3rd, and it will be at the Harper County Fairgrounds building there in Buffalo. Landowners help conserve the intact grasslands of western Oklahoma. Same thing, woody plant removal, utilizing fire for livestock, and wildfire prevention. Importance of burning with neighbors instead of burning them out. No, that's what Cotton King can do. How agencies and PBAs are here to serve. So anyway, that is the Prescribed Burn Association, Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. Same thing, Pheasants and Quail Forever, the OSU Co-op Extension, the NRCS, and the United States Fish and Wildlife Services, and the ODWC will be putting on this. If you got any questions on either one of these, either at Cheyenne or Buffalo, call Tanner Swank at 620-566-7179. He works out of the NRCS office in Woodward. That'll help you if you didn't write that number down. So anyway, it's going to be some really good meetings. A limited space, I think maybe 50 at Cheyenne's available. So get your name in there, because prescribed burning is a plus for our landscape. So if not, if you don't believe me, ask my favorite man from the French Quarters up there at Pack Saddle. He'll tell you. Marcus, he's good at that. Man, he is really good at burning. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau. No, wait, back up. A Taylor Ranch break. Today's Wednesday. I was thinking today is Thursday. Taylor Ranch break. And be right back after this.
A Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 13th. 2,658 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 425 brought 330. 6 at 542 brought 267. 7 at 597 brought 247. 10 at 690 brought 249. 3 at 758 brought 209. 7 at 790 brought 217. 9 head of heifers at 425 brought 266. 16 at 528 brought 246. 10 at 580 brought 235. 11 at 642 brought 227, 7 at 825 brought 219, 30 at 866 brought 214.50, butcher cows were 5 to 144, butcher bulls brought 95 to 169, bred cows were 1550 to 2300, pairs brought 1850 to 2235, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat, so you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Eric.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate, and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. McLean, Texas, your ag weather update out there in the Texas Panhandle. 84 degrees, heat index of 85, humidity's 51%, dew point 64, the winds are out of the south at 16, with wind gust up to 24, peak wind gust today, 29 miles an hour, no red flag minutes, no sub-freezing minutes, 8-inch soil temperature is 82 degrees. On the phone with me right now is the head honcho at the Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Welcome back, Mr. Brandon.
Thank you, sir.
Anyway, everything check out all right in the doctor's office?
Yeah. He said my finger looked really good, and I didn't have to come back and see him anymore unless I run into a problem.
Well, we got another year at least, right? Are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. I lost you there for a second. You broke up. Anyway, so you got another year, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He said as far as his finger goes, he didn't need to ever see me again unless I come up with an issue. So.
Well, I never heard of the story on the finger. Do you want to discuss it or you want to just move on?
A horned bull in the back of a truck, not letting the other bulls go by him. I was just happened to be there trying to help a truck load. Wasn't supposed to be there, but just happened to be there. And didn't have any weapons, so I just walked up there between the front of my loading chute and the back of that truck and just kind of swatted at that bull and yelled at him. And he managed to catch my pinky finger and pinch it between his horn that was about to stick around the end of a silver dollar, a little bit bigger, between his horn and the track where the gate comes down on the back of the truck. And just basically kind of took it off from the nail up. Mm. But old Dr. Windham here at Elk City did great work, and you know, that thing is back on and looks fairly normal and has all the feeling and everything. So.
We'll have to compare little pinkies because I'm losing a lot of skin around my fingernail. And my fingernail's half gone. I almost pulled it off the other day just to get it over with. But then it started. Then it started hurting a little bit, and I quit pulling on it. So, did everybody hear you when it happened?
You know what? Remarkable thing about that is I didn't even get all the way off through a cuss word. I jerked back and said, "Son of a," and I didn't even finish that deal. And you know, then what I did? Then I took my left hand and swatted at him and said, "Get back!" And then I looked down and thought, maybe I better not do that.
Well, I'm pretty sure every neighbor within a square mile from me heard me because I was, woo! So it is. Anyway, so, well, let's start at Elk City Friday, another really good big sale.
Yeah, big sale. They said we was at 760 cows for the day, and like 2,660 all total. Having that many cows, we didn't get done quite as good a shape as we did the week before. Didn't get done quite as early with that many cows, but the market stayed remarkably good all the way through. Buyers all the way till the end, and ended up with a really good market throughout the whole day. It was a good day. It was a little longer than what we hoped for, but 750 cows. I think, I'm not positive, but I think that may have been the most cows that I'd had since the sale in July of 2011 when we were right in the midst of the big drought. That week we ran over 1,200 cows. I think that 750 may have been the most we'd had since.
Dang, yeah, that's a lot. And what stuck out with your on the calf size and like on the boys? What stuck out that day? You remember?
It seemed to be quite a bit of an interest once again picking up on those lightweight calves again. You know, those three weight calves back up there. You know, 350, 360, even some 370. On some of those heavy two, light three weight boy calves, and really big spread between the three weight, light three weight boys and the light three weight girls. Just, you know, like a $50, $60, $100 spread between a boy and a girl on those three weights. So, a lot of interest and activity on them heavy two, light three weight boys was probably the biggest thing that I saw. And then on the good front end, sure enough. Big nice group of five and six weight steers. There's sure a lot of competition on them as well. But again, you know, this deal could look so much different if we had some rain and some wheat pasture prospects. But boy, that just doesn't seem to be happening for us. So you know, we're kind of at the mercy of as far as these calf prices. We're kind of at the mercy of the guys that got feed or got silage or got hay. Because that's where all these calves are having to go.
Well, them boys from Sentinel down in there in Ouachita County ought to be rolling in there this Friday to buy some since they got 1.5 to 2 inches of rain. I bet their wheat is already in the ground or going in the ground. So some of them guys ought to be showing up Friday for the sale. So.
I hope so. We'll have a lot of good cattle to show them. We're going to have a really, really nice run of a lot of reputation ranch calves again this week. And pulling in some of these early with it getting dry. We're pulling in a lot of cattle we don't usually feed till October, November. And we're going to start seeing a lot of those cattle this week already.
So with all them cows you had in there, 700 head, how did they end up selling? Were a lot of them slaughtered, or did you have some bred cows and some pairs?
We had a lot of middle-aged and old bred cows again. We didn't have quite as much activity on them as we'd had the previous 3 weeks. Sure would have called the cow sale $12 to $14 a hundred cheaper than it was the week before. And that was mostly reflected in the loss on the not as much competition on the middle-aged to older bred cows compared to what we've been having the week before. The good front-end, high-yielding cows and bulls would have probably only been down about $5 or $6 than the bred cows, the middle-aged to older bred cows, probably down $12 to $14. Didn't have a lot of young stuff this last Friday. What we did have, it was pretty well steady money on the young stuff. There was some young cows that we had that sold a little bit cheaper, but they were a little bit plainer, not more of a crossbred type of a cow.
I got you. Well, let's move on down I-40 to the east. You had another good sale at Clinton or at Western Oklahoma, 1,667 head. And you must have got done early because it was 2 days before I got the Elk City report. This one here, I got 11.
Yeah, we had nice groups of yearlings brought to us from over at Hobart that we had already all sorted up, ready to run through those pretty fast. Had a good run of calves. I think we had over 600 calves off the cows. So a really nice run of calves. Not as big a group as what we have seen in the past. A lot more of those 5 to 40 head groups. Not as many of those, 90 to 170 head groups again. But the calf offering was a lot more consigners, but less head per consigner. But a nice offering of calves, and then had a big cow run for there. I think we ended up with over 300 cows there Monday, which is a pretty high number for there, but it kind of keeps surprising me how many of these cows just keep going up. It seems like that as many as we've sold all year that we ought to be kind of about to hit a wall on that thing, but it sure hasn't happened so far.
No, it seems like it's gaining a little more momentum. Anyway, well, I asked you before you come on the show, and so now that we're on the same page here, to me, looking at your numbers and from both sales and comparing, it looks like the overall the market on the calves and feeders are basically steady to maybe a little bit higher.
Yes, sir. The thing that just amazes me, we talked about this last week too. On those sure enough long yearling feedlot ready cattle, which there's not very many of them out there to be had this time of year, but it's reflecting in the price. Very, very high positive basis, for those cattle over, current September futures, and those cattle that, bring it $10, $12, $14 a hundred positive basis of September futures board on the feeder board. But that's phenomenal. But that, it reflects that there's not a lot of those feedlot ready cattle out there. And these feedlots, they're emptying a lot of pens, and that, they're needing cattle to refill them. Yep. And they don't really want to do it with these calves.
Right, exactly. Anyway, so, well, we got about 5-6 minutes here, and I didn't cut you off last week, but I ran out of time. And so, anyway, about a month ago, you and I talked about this EID tag. And it wasn't about the black buzzards, but it was about the EID tag. I had the president of the NCBA on, Mr. Mike Isley, came on, and I'm giving you your chance to come back because you was listening to that conversation because it was on your day off, And so what did you think about what Mark had to say?
Well, you know, in my opinion, what I heard was a lot of fear-mongering, you know, a lot of pushing toward going towards something because of we're using fear tactics. You know, and that's usually not ever a good thing. You know, the question that I sent in and asked, well, I mean, he just bounced right over that, wouldn't even answer that, wouldn't even acknowledge the question of where the push was coming from. He just said, oh, we're not doing that. Our membership didn't want to do that. Well, I didn't. It wasn't about what they were doing. I was wanting to know where the push. You know, I wanted him to tell me why NCBA put that in the proposed policy.
Right.
But you know, I thought that you and Mr. Taylor did a fantastic job, and you ended up kind of, in my opinion, you ended up tripping the man up greatly with just the simple questions, because he was very well educated on the part that affected him, that was going to personally affect him. For example, the commuter hurt deal. But, you know, you ask him just a regular old question that should have been the easiest in the world to answer about cattle coming from Arizona or you buying a herd from Jimmy in Texas and bringing them into Oklahoma. Those should have been softball questions, and he couldn't really answer them. He couldn't really tell you the correct answer to that. You know, and that's what's ultra frustrating about it is, you know, NCBA is pushing this deal pretty hard, and you know, to do this and acting like it's a good deal, but they don't even really, the leadership doesn't even really know the answers to the questions, to what should be these questions. Now, me in the cell barn industry, you know, and you know, Mr. Ivory, you know, us with our aluminum heart, our aluminum full tin full hat. And, you know, we know all the answers to all these questions because we are the ones that's going to have to deal with it on a daily basis. And what's going to be done, what has to be tagged, what doesn't have to be tagged. We know the answers to all these questions. And it's not any different than what we've been doing. It's just turning it into an electric tag. And that's supposed to somehow help the traceability. Well, Mr. Taylor brought up, well, if you don't have a wand, can you just read the tag? Absolutely, just read. Well, then, if we're just going to be able to just read the numbers off the tag, why are we going to spend more money on the tag if we're just going to read the numbers anyway? It does not make any sense that we're replacing these metal bright tags with a higher dollar EID tag, but it's going to be fine if people just read the numbers and write it on a health paper just like they always have. So right. It really doesn't make any sense to spend all this extra money to do this, and ultimately people are going to just be reading the numbers off of them just like they always have.
Right.
And the other thing that is really frustrating to me is he said that NCBA worked so hard and they've got $15 million to fund this program. Well, yes, they did. That money runs out October 30th. So when this thing actually goes into effect November 5th, this is an unfunded mandate. We will not have any money unless Congress puts more money into it before October 30th. Does that $15 million that they got the USDA to put into it initially is gone as of October 30th. So that makes this an unfunded mandate that they are going to have to come up with money for from somewhere in order to continue this project, going forward, the TID project. And if they don't come up with the money on their end, then they are going to expect the farmers and ranchers to put the bill on those EID tags. That was said all along that we're not going to do this unless USDA can fund it. Well, they are not, unless something changes between now and November 5th, it's unfunded. The $15 million for those tags, that has already been spent. So as soon as that round of tags runs out, we then become, from that time on, unfunded, and they have to come up with the money somewhere to pay for all those tags.
And then that means when they come through the sale barn and you put them in, guess who pays for them?
Exactly.
So.
And one more thing I'll say, you know, that I, the question that you asked, and this is the other thing, that, you know, they can force us in the livestock auction industry to do it because we have a brick and mortar business. We're all there in one place. but they don't have the manpower to enforce this to have true traceability, you should be, you know, you should have to be required to, which you're supposed to be, but you should have to be required to read those tags every time you have a change of ownership. But that's not happening. It hasn't happened with the metal bright tags. It's been on the books. That's the way the metal bright tags are supposed to be all along. But that's not happening when cattle are trading in the country. They're not running these cattle through the chute and IDing them. And so that nothing's changing there. That's going to continue to happen. They don't really happen. EID is not going to make them have true traceability unless everybody is on the same playing field and everybody has to put them in. Everybody has to read them at every change of ownership. Otherwise, it's a pointless deal.
Well, and that's a true fact. You know, that's what I understood. It's been 2 or 3 months ago when I come across something that I read that they don't even have the metal tag deal 100% under control, and they're already changing it. And I did hear that.
Yeah. And one more thing I'll throw in there that nobody really thinks about. It doesn't come up very much. But right now with the metal bright tag, you know, it's all paperwork. It's not computerized. You know, it's all paperwork. So this part of it doesn't seem like as big a deal for that. But the thing that has not ever happened that I don't think is going to start happening with the EIDs, I don't know how they're going to make that, but the packer cows, the end user, the packer cow buyer, are supposed to retire those tags as they get them. They're supposed to take those metal clip tags, they're supposed to record them, and they're supposed to then retire out of the system. Packers have not been doing that for years. They don't want to mess with that. They don't want to take the time to do that. They don't want to have to hire the manpower to write down all those numbers and retire all those tags. They're not going to do it with the EIDs either. So these databases are going to, if they even come up with a program that can handle this database, it's going to get absolutely huge. You know, you're going to have cows in this database that are going to be 20, 30 years old because they don't have any way to enforce the Packers to retire these tags and get them out of the database.
I did not know that. Now I do. See, I learned something on Today in Ag. So, anyway, well, Brandon, I got to get to break before I run out of time. And I'm sure everybody don't want to listen to commercials for the rest of the show. So, anyway, I appreciate your voice and opinions on everything we got going on in the cattle industry. I that's what I want people to hear. I want them to hear both sides' opinions.
Yes, sir.
So,
absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you. I will see you this Friday.
All right. Sounds good, Jimmy.
All right. See you later. All right. Let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, I'll have your weather, ag weather update from northwestern Oklahoma. And we do have some people texting in on the text line for hay for sale. So if you got hay for sale or you're looking to buy some hay, 580-225-9697. Shoot me a text. And if you're selling hay, please let me know what kind it is, how much per ton, per bale, tested or not tested, and can you load? And also, whereabouts it's at. Appreciate it. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Anything you can get out and about and do in the public to keep yourself out there, seeing what's going on, and you're knowledgeable about what's going on. You have customers come in wanting to do something, open a business or whatnot. It might be nice to have a little insight on your side. They have business plans. It's probably rare to find a business plan that has every little in and out thought out. So if you know what's going on around town, there may be something you could share with them that might either alter their plan, make their plan a different direction, speed it up, slow it down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more. So go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see who. Whoa, my computer froze up. There we go. I got her kind of unfrozen there. Maybe. Bear with me a second here. I'm having a Jimmy Clark moment, and I've got her. Come on, tell me you're fixed. Oh, boom, I'm there. Cool. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Pick big city to slap out. 88 degrees, dew point 65, humidity's 47. The winds are out of south at 16 with 24 mile an hour gusts. 10-day rain total, 14 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 83 degrees. Sunset at 7:44, 20% chance of thunderstorms today, 95. Tonight, clear, 68. Tomorrow, 96 and hot. With west winds 9 to 15 miles an hour. So not too shabby. All right. Let's see what I got here. Oh, before I forget, hang on just a second. Coming up. Let me find it. Yes. Coming up. Saturday, September 21st, from 12 to 2, Kirk Feeds over in Eric, one of the sponsors for her show. Is having hot dogs and drinks provided. It's a grand opening. $100 off on all Hawk and Muddy Stand blinds during grand openings only. Drawings for the following items: High Pro Chicken Feed, 30 to 6 range cubes, Trophy Pro Deer Feed, Skinny Knife, gloves, paddle stick, Whip Flag, Buck Seduction Deer Feed, Extreme Attractant, and Wind Checker. Must be present to win. Hope to see you there. Kirk Feeds at 117 West 2nd Street in Eric. High Pro Feeds, 12 to 2, their grand opening coming up September 21st. So, anyway, go over and check them out. Good people. Okay, let's see. What time is it? Well, I got time for one more thing as soon as I can find it. Since I didn't have my Heyday Tuesday yesterday, I checked the markets today. There's not a whole lot going on with the hay market from what I can see, but I will kind of briefly go over some of the states and what they're getting right now. And I don't know what percent of hay sales are probably not recorded to the USDA, and it ain't a matter of taxes or nothing like that. It's just you got to take the time to call them and tell them what you sold. But here's what has been reported. Kansas premium alfalfa is going 240 to 310. Good quality alfalfa, 100 to 225. That's quite a range there. Oklahoma, 130 to 150 on premium. I ain't biting into that one. I'm pretty sure it's 200 or better. Texas, 250 to 360, both those being delivered. 250 to 270 delivered on good alfalfa. Not much going on in the other hay, which is mainly grass hay. Kansas, 150 to 300 per ton on premium. Missouri, 200. Nebraska, nothing available. Oklahoma, nothing available. Texas, hay, I'm sure it's that coastal grass for those horses. It's running around 240 to 260 per ton. All right, let's go ahead and take another Taylor Ranch break. When I come back, I got a couple of, get your pen and pencil ready if you want. I got a couple of hay items that are for sale, some alfalfa and some rye. And we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You look outside and notice the grass is getting tall and will need mowed soon. But your old push mower is on its last leg and you sure could use a new mower. You head down to the convenience store and get your usual cup of coffee and pick up a copy of the Penny News. Then you see it. It's right there on the front page. DJ's Rentals in Elk City is discounting their in-stock zero-turn mowers. You think to yourself, now's the perfect time to get what I need and save some money, too. My wife will be so proud.
Hey, Elk City! Say hello to Blue Peak Fiber Internet and get 50% off your first 3 months. With speeds up to 5 gig, you get unlimited data, plus included equipment and free install. Blue Peak continues to bring fiber internet to more homes throughout Elk City. We make your internet worry-free, hassle-free, and haggle-free. Find your fiber internet plan at mybluepeak.com. That's mybluepeak.com. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI Agritech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle kits, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI Agritech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
Why'd the kid jump off the boat?
I don't know. Why?
Peer pressure.
Oh. Good one, Ned.
Ned isn't funny, but Ned owns a boat, and you don't. So every time Ned tells another one of his unfunny boat puns, you're going to laugh loud and keep on laughing until you get a boat of your own.
A pier where you put a boat.
Yeah, I get it.
And when you do get a boat of your own, make sure you save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater, featuring 42 registered age advantage bulls, also an elite group of 17 registered heifers, and over 100 bred commercial heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to mcintyreredangus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale near Sweetwater the first Monday in October. The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
When it comes time to put your hard-earned money toward a new vehicle, count on Lipscomb Dealerships to give you a better value and car buying experience with friendly, no-pressure sales and quality service backed by a half century of experience. Save more in the country at our 7 dealerships across Texoma with over 1,000 Chevy, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Ford vehicles, plus KTMs and Can-Ams, always on sale at LipscombDealerships.com. Good people, great deals, family-owned since 1979.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, well, I'm thinking about it. Tomorrow on my show, Dr. Ashley Ferris from OSU. She's the Extension Cropping Systems Entomologist. Did I say that right? Entomologist, however you say that. And Peak Management Coordinator from OSU. She's going to be on the show tomorrow. And we're going to be talking bugs and all kinds of stuff coming up. I really, really, really like her. She's pretty cool. She taught me how to catch flying moths that I couldn't catch. So anyway, besides swatting them and killing them, anyway, she taught me how to catch them alive. Anyway, she'll be on tomorrow, so I'm excited about tomorrow. She's been working on some different kind of critters down in Ouachita County. And by the way, that's Dr. Ashley Ferris, not kin to the Ouachita County Ferrises. How's that? Anyway, all right, let's check out some weather for southwestern Oklahoma, brought to you by the Hobart Farm and Garden. Let's see here. Let's go with, I haven't been to Altus in a while. Let's check it out. 93 degrees, dew point 66, humidity's 41. The winds are out of the south, southwest at 15 with wind gusts up to 22. And 3-day average 4-inch bare soil, temperature 85, sunset at 7:40. Man, was that harvest moon beautiful last night. Woo, it was pretty. Hot, 98 today, 20% chance of storms tonight, 73 for low. And chance of thunderstorms tomorrow, 30% chance, high of 100. So, yes, Nathan Brewer was wrong. The triple digits are back. There was no way they was going away. What I hate about it is this dang wind and the heat drying things out big time. All right, let's go to the text line and see what we got. You guys got your pen or pencil and paper ready? Alfalfa hay for sale. Little square bales. Average 75 pounds a piece. No bugs. No stickers. This is horse quality alfalfa hay. Winter's coming. Get stocked. Can load up to 50 at a time with a bale squeeze in Delhi, Oklahoma. Can deliver for a fee. $15 a bale or $16 a bale check. Call or text 580-729-0361. 580-729-0361. Also, we got some rye hay, 1,100-pound bales, round bales, not tested. It's really good. $140 per ton, can load, 580-821-4816. 580-821-4816. Real good rye hay, $140 a ton. Anyway, got that going on. Thank you for your participation. I think the more we get into the winter, the more hay we're going to have to advertise and more people looking for it. So anyway, stay patient on this Taylor Ranch day. Anyway, what's your thoughts on rye hay? I've heard both sides of the story. I fed some rye hay yesterday that was 2 years old, and I fed a bale there by the house for the cows in the lot. And I don't know, it was probably 1,200 pound bale. And it was 3/4 gone this morning. I think if rye hay is put up correctly, it's just as good as wheat and true-to-cow hay. Notice my key word there, put up correctly. A lot of myths out there about rye hay. And so, oh, no, I ain't buying them. My cows won't eat it. Yes, they will if it's put up right. And, yeah, I'm sure some people put up some rye hay that's a little mature. And the rule of thumb is if it basically goes to head and pollinates, it's when it starts getting the reversal test. And I had some rye and true-to-cow and wheat hay tested 1 year, and there wasn't enough difference. And they were all put up correctly. And there wasn't enough difference in the hay test to worry about. So, there you go. That's my 2 cents on it. Real quickly, Taylor Ranch, all cattle are not the same. Just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouthwatering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served at their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarter halves or whole beef, third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. 405-609-4662. You guys have a wonderful day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, America. God bless everybody.